Scripture text is Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9, we continue our study in the book of the prophet Jeremiah. And we find here that the subject is a gloomy one, because that the prophet was having to give a message of woe. He was having to give a message of coming judgment from God upon people who refused to listen to the words of the Lord. And we noted previously in the first few verses how that the prophet, he had two wishes. Well, we read those verses tonight, but I want to read the entire chapter, verse 1. Oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them. For they be all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men, and they bend their tongues like their bow for lies, but they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth. For they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord. Take ye heed, every one of his neighbor, and trust ye not in any brother. For every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanders. And they will deceive every one his neighbor, and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies and weary themselves to commit iniquity. Thine habitation is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit they refuse to know me, saith the Lord. And so you see, you remember the two wishes of the prophet. There he wished one that his head was as, and his eyes were like a fountain, because he could not weep enough tears for all the sorrow and the destruction that was coming on his people because of their having forsaken God and refusing to obey the Lord. And then his second wish was, he wished he could get away from them because of how wicked they were. And he said, you can't trust any of them. They're all liars. And they worked really hard at it. And so it was a bad condition. And the Lord said, they know not me. And then he said, they refuse to know me. Continuing in verse 7, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will melt them and try them, for how shall I do for the daughter of my people? Their tongue is as an arrow shot out. It speaketh deceit. One speaketh peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in heart he layeth his weight. And of course, the laying weight had to do with like somebody, like a robber waiting to steal or to do harm. And so their words didn't match what was really in their heart. In verse 9, shall I not visit them for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? For the mountains will I take up a weeping and wailing, and for the habitations of the wilderness a lamentation, because they are burned up, so that none can pass through them, neither can men hear the voice of the cattle. Both the fowl of the heavens and the beasts are fled, they are gone. Now I will make Jerusalem heaps, and a den of dragons or jackals. It's another rendering of it. And I will make the cities of Judah desolate without an inhabitant. And so you see the picture that he's painting here. He says why the countryside where they used to graze their cattle and their sheep and do the farming and so on. He said, that's all going to be burned up. And then he said, the city, Jerusalem, their capital city, he said, it's going to be abandoned and a lot of wild animals are going to move in. Can you imagine that? You know, can you imagine all this farmland out here, you know, just burned and no longer farmed, and then, you know, go down to Springfield and nobody lives there anymore and the critters are moving in. Can you imagine such a thing? Well, that's what God said, and it is what took place to them. Jeremiah saw it happen, come to pass with his own eyes. Verse 12, who is the wise man that may understand this? And who is he to whom the mouth of the Lord hath spoken, that he may declare it? For what the land perisheth and is burned up like a wilderness that none passeth through. And the Lord saith, because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, neither walked therein, but have walked after the imagination of their own heart, and after Balaam, which their fathers taught them. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, even this people, with wormwood, and give them water of gall to drink. I will scatter them also among the heathen, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, and I will send a sword after them till I have consumed them. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider ye and call for the mourning women, that they may come, and send for cunning or skillful women, that they may come, and let them make haste and take up a wailing for us, that our eyes may run down with tears and our eyelids gush out with waters. You've seen perhaps, you know, other cultures where they have the wailing women that cry out and weep when something calamitous happens, or people have died or been killed in war and so on. And so that's what he's speaking of here. He says, call for these mourning, these weeping women to come. He says there's going to be a lot of cause for weeping. He said in verse 19, for a voice of wailing is heard out of Zion. How are we spoiled? We are greatly confounded because we have forsaken the land, because our dwellings have cast us out. Yet hear the word of the Lord, O ye women, and let your ear receive the word of his mouth, and teach your daughters wailing, and every one her neighbor lamentation. For death has come up into our windows, and has entered into our palaces, to cut off the children from without, and the young men from the streets. Speak, thus saith the Lord. Even the carcasses of men shall fall as dung upon the open field, and as the handful after the harvestmen, and none shall gather them. You see, there was going to be so many that were slain when the Babylonians came and invaded. He says their bodies are just going to be left littering the ground. Like as when they're bringing in the harvest, and some of the grain, it just falls on the ground. Well, nobody bothers to pick it up, you know. Kind of like when they bring in the fields and those trucks will get filled up, you know, with the corn, and they'll turn the corner, you know, on one of them little roads, and some will spill out there. You'll see it on the side of the road, you know, there's a pile. Well, nobody bothers to pick that up, right? He said, well, that's how it's going to be with all that are slain. When this invasion comes that God had foretold was coming. And he said, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will punish all them which are circumcised with the uncircumcised, Egypt and Judah and Edom and the children of Ammon and Moab and all that are in the utmost corners that dwell in the wilderness. For all these nations are uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in the heart. And so he's telling them, he says, the day of judgment is going to come. He said it's going to include everybody. The children of Israel thought they were, in Jeremiah's day, they thought, well, we're exempt. Well, they weren't. And God said, you're not exempt from what's coming. And what they didn't realize was, in their eyes, they were no different than all these other heathen nations. He says, because you have refused to know me. He said, your problem is a heart problem. Now, the prophet here, I want you to notice, especially verse 12. He said, who is the wise man that may understand this? And who is he to whom the mouth of the Lord hath spoken, that he may declare it? For what the land perisheth and is burned up like a wilderness that none passeth through. The subject is, who can understand? Right? He asks this question, who's the wise man that knows what is going on and why? Now the prophet, as we saw, he bewailed and he wept. So much so, he said, I don't have tears enough to weep. Because of the condition of the people and the judgment of God that was coming on them. They were so unaffected by God's word. But Jeremiah was greatly affected by it. Right? It greatly affected him. They were too hard-hearted. Didn't move them. Didn't stir them. It didn't cause them to turn from their own ways to the Lord. Now, in the midst of describing this terrible judgment that was coming, and how awful it was going to be, such that the land would be desolate, uninhabited, and the very city of Jerusalem would be in ruins and uninhabited. This question is asked, who is the wise man that may understand this? In other words, why is this happening? And who's able to understand how we came to this? And what is the cause? I'm reminded, you know, as I read these words and pondered this question, it made me think of the tragedy that occurred. We refer to it as 9/11. When nearly 3,000 of our fellow citizens died, you know, as a result of a terrorist attack by fanatical madmen. And after that happened, you remember our government, they established a commission. And the responsibility of that commission was to determine how was it that this was able to occur. Right? Who was responsible? And what led to it? And what failures were there in detecting that this was going to happen and in preventing it? And what should be done to prevent such a tragedy from happening again in the future? And of course, this wasn't the first time that the government has done, you know, those kinds of things. It's common practice when something tragic or even something undesirable takes place to look back and analyze and try to determine, well, what led to it and what could have prevented the tragedy so as to avoid the same from happening again or similar. You know, the sad thing is that today it's not much different than in Jeremiah's day, is that there aren't people don't understand what's taking place or why. And we find that, you know, so many, did you ever wonder why it is that so many people can look at the same things, at the same events, the same facts, the same circumstances, and they can all come up with so many widely varying opinions about what did and did not lead to and contribute to something taking place, what did and did not, or what should or should not be done to prevent a recurrence. Well, the reason is they have no wisdom, no understanding to really know the cause and what they ought to do. Beloved, God foretold the tragedy that was going to occur to the children of Israel and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. The people were forewarned by the Word of God. And God permits, and we get further on in the book of Jeremiah, we're going to come to see how that even after the tragedy occurred, those who survived looked back in days to come, and some still didn't perceive that it was their sins that had brought this tragedy upon them. That it was their, as God said in verse 13, the Lord said, because they have forsaken my law which I set before them and have not obeyed my voice, neither walked therein. Right? They turned their back on the Lord. And they refused to obey His word. And He says they walked after the imagination of their own heart and after other gods. And did like their fathers, their ancestors. And there would be some who, they still didn't get it, so to speak, as we would say. They had not listened to or obeyed the words of the Lord. They had been unthankful. They had been unholy. They had been forgetful and unmindful of the truth and the blessings and the mercies and the covenant of God. And we have similar circumstances today in our day and time. Many talk as though they do not really know what is the cause of the downward trend of churches, the lack of spirituality, the ungodly course of society and homes and families and communities and nations. And we hear various things being blamed. Well, in reality, the problem is no different than in Jeremiah's day. There's a lack of understanding hearts. A lack of taking heed to God. A lack of looking to God. A refusal to abandon reliance upon the flesh, our own wisdom, and lean on the everlasting arms of the Lord. Right? He said that in verse 23, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. They had wise men back then. Right? Their king, their ruler would talk to his counselors, his advisors. They had experts. They had all these, they wouldn't listen to Jeremiah, but they had a lot of other prophets that they listened to. False prophets. They said, don't let the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. They had mighty men. They had rich men. Said, let not the rich man glory in his riches. See, money was just as important to them back then as it is to people now. But you see, they had a lack of understanding. And they refused to rely upon the Lord. They said, we can't see how doing it God's way is going to work out. Well, doing it God's way is going to work out the way God said it's going to work out. It might not work out the way we want. It's going to work out the way He wants. Now in this verse that contains the question, in the question he places the key to the answer. Right? How was it that they were to be wise and understand? How was it they were to get to the root of the problem and perhaps and find any sort of answer? He said, who is the wise man that may understand this? In verse 12, and who is he to whom the mouth of the Lord has spoken? You see, the only answer was going to come from the mouth of the Lord. The Word of God. God's Word had the answer then, and it has the answer now. God's Word tells us why we have come to the place we're at, and where we're going to go from here. Wasn't it telling them where they were going? Didn't He tell them? He said, you better get those mourning, weeping, wailing women ready, because that's where you're headed. God's Word reveals the cause and the outcome, the reason and the result. Now, in Jeremiah's day, the cause was, as we noted in verse 13 and 14, He said, they've forsaken My law, the Lord said. They've not obeyed My voice. Or walked therein. They wouldn't live the way God's Word told them to live. They wouldn't do what God told them to do. And then they forsook God, and He says they've walked after the imagination of their own heart. They did what they wanted, what they thought, what they preferred. And He said, and then they've gone after these gods of the nations of the world that He said, they don't even know Me. That's why when you get to the end of the chapter, He lumped them all together. He said, isn't that striking? The last verse He says, Egypt and Judah. Right, Judah here is the southern kingdom where Jerusalem was. And he just lumped them all together. He says there's no difference. They're the same. God's Word told them all, or told them that all that remained for them was loss. And death and weeping and wailing, it revealed that the problem was not a social problem. It wasn't a financial problem. It wasn't an educational problem. It was a heart problem. He said, they are uncircumcised in heart. We know circumcision was an outward sign of the covenant that God had given to the Jews. But it was supposed to be, it was supposed to teach them that they were supposed to be dead to self and sin and live unto God. Their heart needed an operation of God. And He says, all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in the heart. They were, as He said in the Psalms, not estranged from their lusts. They were not sorry for their sins. They did not even see their sins as being sinful. They had no taste for the Word of God and the things of God. They did not tremble at God's Word. It did not cause them to humble themselves under God's mighty hand. They did not, as the Bible says, they did not wait for His counsel. They didn't say, well, we're gonna do it the way God says. And if we're not sure, well, we're gonna ask the Lord, we're gonna wait till we're sure it's what He wants. And then they engaged in all of the sinful practices of the heathen nations who do not even know God. Remember the previous chapter, they were offering their children in the fire to the heathen idols. You say, I can't imagine such. And yet so many things are done, even in our day. There was no difference between them and the ungodly. Now remember, and God said the judgment is coming. He said in verse 25, 26, the days come that I will punish all of them. He said the circumcised with the uncircumcised. Now who did He start with? He started with His people.
Right, the Bible says judgment must begin at the house of God. He's going to deal with His own people first. We look at the wicked world and we say, why doesn't God do something about it? Well, God's going to take care of that in due time. He's already set the time. God's not forgetful. God hasn't lost interest. God isn't saying, oh, I don't know what's going on or I don't care anymore. No, He knows. But He's dealing with His people. Right, that last book of Scripture where He tells about all these things that are going to take place, how He's going to wrap up the ages. And who was it addressed to? To His churches. Right, that's who He sent it to. You read that the opening of the book of Revelation, and then you read the last chapter, it says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. He's talking to His people. We live in an hour in which many churches have gotten too smart for God. Well, they already know everything that they need to do. They don't need God's Word to tell them anything. And many church members refuse to live their lives according to the teachings of the Scriptures. And false teachers and preachers abound who will tell you everything that you want to hear. To say that you're a Christian and yet you can do whatever you want and have what you want. Nobody's concerned about doing God's will. And then when the hour of calamity comes, many will say, well, what happened and why did this take place? Beloved, the Word of God tells us the outcome of sin and of refusing to take heed to God, of refusing to hearken when He calls, when He beckons, to heed His instructions, His warnings, His wisdom, His counsel. Notice again, verse 23 and 24, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight, saith the Lord. And so you see, the Lord, He says, let him glory in that he knoweth me. I remember in those earlier verses, He said, they know not me, and they refuse to know me. Now look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul, the apostle, he quoted from just a portion of that there in Jeremiah to the church at Corinth. And he said, let him that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. He that boasts, he that exalts, let him do it in the Lord. You know, the riches, the might or the strength or the ability or the wisdom. Who is it that gives that? Well, the Lord gives it. That's not to be gloried in. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe.
The Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block and unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. You see, Paul said, I'm not very much of a salesman. He said, I haven't preached using the wisdom of words. He says, because what saves is the power of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He died for sinners at Calvary. He said to another place, he said, I want your faith to rest in the power of God. But notice he said in verse 25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men and the weakness of God is stronger than men. See, God can use something that man looks on and says, well, that's foolish, or that won't work, or that's ignorant. And God can take that and use that and accomplish more with that than man can imagine. And if you're not sure about that, well, then you need to examine Calvary, where the one that they looked at as being worth nothing, and they said, even though they said, well, we can't find anything wrong with him, we're going to go ahead and execute him anyway, just because we don't want to be bothered with him. And they threw him out as so much trash, and like he was a criminal. And God made him the Savior of the world. And there's not one person who will see God except they come to God by faith in Christ Jesus. And so he said, for you see a calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught or nothing things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. No one's going to stand in the presence of God and glory in themselves. In their own wisdom and their own might and their own strength. Remember, God delivered the children of Israel by Gideon. There in the book of Judges. And you know, they had to go face an enemy. It says there were so many of them that you couldn't count them. Well, Gideon had an army of about 30,000, and God said, that's way too many. He said, I can't use them. He said, Israel will get all proud and puffed up and vaunt themselves and say, well, we did it. No, he whittled them down to just 300. But you see, he said, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. We get all that in Christ. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. See, that's what Jeremiah said, was saying to them. He said, you need to glory in the Lord. Here they were. When they heard that the Babylonians were coming, you know what they did? They started to say, well, we've got to build up our defenses. We've got to make an alliance with some other powerful nation. And we have to do this and we have to do that. They left out the one essential thing. Trusting in and turning to the Lord. He said, who's a wise man that may understand this? Oh, may the Lord give wisdom. In Christ Jesus, there's wisdom. He said, why you preach the gospel and to folk, to people, it's foolishness. He says, but to all, everyone that believes, it's the power of God to save their soul and give them eternal life. So may God help us. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed.